dear listener. This is Basement Gaming, episode 63. My name is Herb, and I'm joined by my dear cousin Brigham.
Howdy, howdy.
So this episode, Brigham and I talk about some big Microsoft news that came out today. If you enjoy the show, please give us a follow on Twitter at BasementGaming9 and on your podcast listening app of choice. And feel free to share the show with your gamer friends. With formalities out of the way, welcome to Basement Gaming. Brigham.
Woo, man, what a day.
What a day.
It is. This day has been started at literally like 110 for me and has just been in overdrive all day.
It is January the 18th, 2022, and Microsoft has shaken the gaming worlds. And
to the core.
Has made probably, I'm seeing a lot of people throw around the biggest acquisition, the biggest gaming acquisition ever. And let's just put this into detail here. So reportedly, Microsoft has bought Activision Blizzard for, what was it, $68.7 billion.
That's with a B.
With a B. For context, I saw someone tweet this out. I think it was MKPHD. He said that Facebook acquired Instagram for $1 billion. And we thought that was like monumental back in the day. And here we are, two gaming industries combining for $68 billion. I mean, this is just absurd. I mean, how much is Jeff Bezos worth?
Oh, like how much is he worth? I mean, he's worth a lot of money. I mean, Microsoft as a company is, I think, over $2 trillion. I don't know how much Amazon's worth. Look this up. Jeff Bezos' net worth.
I mean, this just feels like such.
Oh, $188 billion.
Okay, so they're getting close to $100 billion with this deal alone, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, in other words, Jeff Bezos could buy both of these companies, probably.
Well, remember whenever Microsoft purchased, whenever they purchased Bethesda or ZeniMax, you know, how much was that? That was, and at the time we were talking about that purchase, we were thinking, holy cow.
I feel like I wasn't blown away by the number though. I
was just blown away by the 7.5 billion.
Yeah, it was still pretty crazy, but close to 70 billion. I was like, that's just gaming companies, man. I've never heard of gaming companies. I mean, obviously we haven't heard of gaming companies combining for this much money.
No.
So this is a huge acquisition in terms of financial.
I mean, think about it. Disney bought Star Wars for $4 billion. I keep going through these numbers in my head. Yeah, $4 billion for Star Wars, and this is a $70 billion deal.
Oh my goodness, this is crazy. So, I mean, obviously it's a big deal. So there's a lot of questions, a lot of things to think about when it comes to the future, in terms of the games, in terms of exclusivity, in terms of, you know, the culture at Activision right now that's been under heavy scrutiny. So we have a lot of things we could tackle here, but I mean, you're the Xbox, you're the Microsoft guy here. Give me initial impressions.
Yeah. So just full disclaimer, we have said this before, but I do work at Microsoft. So, you know, take my opinion with a grain of salt. Obviously I'm happy, but I work at Microsoft, I own stock in Microsoft. So obviously there is a monetary reason why I'm happy, but as a gamer, I'm also very excited because I do love the Xbox ecosystem. I think that this is great for Blizzard for a multitude of reasons. I just kind of want to go over real quick, though, some of the games that Microsoft now owns through this deal, okay? So remember, Activision Blizzard, they own Blizzard Entertainment, Activision, and also King, which is a mobile gaming company. So some of the games that they have are like Call of Duty, Guitar Hero, Crash Bandicoot, which is crazy. Crash Bandicoot is now an Xbox exclusive. They used to be the Sony mascot, okay? So with Blizzard games, Microsoft now owns Warcraft, so World of Warcraft, which also means that Microsoft now has two MMOs because they have World of Warcraft and Elder Scrolls Online. They also have from Blizzard StarCraft, Overwatch, Diablo. And then from King, the major franchise that they have is Candy Crush, which we all know. Even if you've never played it, you've heard of Candy Crush Saga before. So yeah, a ton of huge, heavy hitting games. Okay. I mean, Call of Duty alone, like that's in itself is really big, but just this library of games that they have purchased, I just can't, I can't get over it. And yeah, sorry. I just want to kind of go through those. I kind of want to, I want to hear from you. Like, why, are you excited about this? Cause you're a PlayStation fan. You know what I mean? So what does this mean for you?
I feel like there's been a lot of jokes online about how this deal is embarrassing PlayStation in a way. I've never really felt that anything that Xbox does that's good is inherently bad for PlayStation. They're saying that all the stuff that's being shared with PlayStation right now is going to keep happening. And let's be sure to include here that the deal isn't going to be over till they're saying June 2023. So it's a long ways off for it to be inked. So all these companies are going to be working independently until then. So the status quo is going to be the same for at least another year, right?
Oh yeah. So even after a year, if they buy it, they got to like actually, they can't even make plans on what they want to do until the deal is done. Like legally, they can't make plans. So
right.
They can't even start talking until a year. So it's going to be like probably a couple of years until we start seeing actual like, you know, change and results from this.
Yeah. I mean, people are like, it's crazy that they own Crash Bandicoot. It's like, okay, fine. But when was the last time we saw a Crash Bandicoot game that just, you know, crushed the world, you know? And in terms of, is this bad for PlayStation? I mean, PlayStation will be fine, guys. Like, the PS5 sells within seconds anytime it comes up. They sneeze out a Game of the Year candidate every year without fail. At least two.
Multiple
Game of the Year awards candidates every year. So PlayStation will be fine. I think this should be a win. We should just see this as it is. A win for Xbox, and like you said, just a win for gaming, because it's just good for some of these IPs to get a different eye view on them, to get more boost in terms of finances, just more support from another company, right?
For sure.
So let's say, for instance, I have all these discrepancies with Warzone, all these things I have against Warzone right now, right? Again, nothing's going to change with Warzone in the next 2 years, but let's just say it does after 2 years. It's just like, there are things that they couldn't afford to do before, or they just didn't have the manpower to do before, but now maybe they might. And some things that bother me in that game might get improved upon. It's always good. Not always. A lot of times it can be pretty good whenever a game company gets bigger, because it's just more resources to make that game better. And I don't know what they have in store or what they're thinking about in terms of new games under Microsoft, Activision, Blizzard. That's a mouthful. That's something we'll see in the future. Honestly, as a PlayStation fan, I feel pretty neutral, but like as a gaming fan, I'm just like super interested, because this is, like you said, this is two of the meccas of the gaming industry coming together. And I'm just fascinated to see where we go from here.
Yeah. And, you know, like you were saying, I think even if you're a PlayStation fan, if you don't even own an Xbox, I think this is a huge positive for you, because whenever a company like Microsoft has a game, owns a game company, a game developer, it's not as much about just making sure that game sells as much as possible. It's about making sure that game is good, so people will buy the platform that the game is on. So people will buy an Xbox, or so people will buy a PC, or so people will subscribe to, you know, Game Pass. And so because of that, you know, they can make games that don't have to have such a huge tail. They don't need to have microtransactions. They don't need to, you know, be annualized like all the Activision games are right now. And you can sit with Sony. You know, Sony, they have the Spider-Man game. They have these really God of War, Uncharted, like really big single-player games that don't have microtransactions, don't have like a ton of DLC. If they do, it's just like one or two, like little expansions. And it works really well for them. And I think you're going to see more of those kind of games from Activision. Like, remember, Activision had an opportunity to make a Ghostbusters game, and the only reason why they didn't was because they couldn't annualize it. Well, that's not really an issue anymore with Microsoft. You know, if Microsoft wants to have a game, a Ghostbusters game that's exclusive to Xbox, for them, that's a win. So that's just like one example in my mind of like why this is good for everybody. And if, like I was saying, if you don't have an Xbox, you know, Xbox has been very, Microsoft has been very determined to have all their games come out on Xbox and PC. So if you play on PC, it's there. And they also have xCloud. So maybe in the future, all the games that are Xbox exclusive, you can play on your iPad or on your TV through streaming it. So I think in terms of like being able to access games, you may not be able to play it on a PlayStation, but there will be some other product you can play it on. So you should be happy overall if you're a gamer, in my mind.
Yeah, definitely. there's somebody out there who's just like, oh, I don't like seeing two big companies come together, freaking Monopoly. I'm never too worried about monopolies when it comes to gaming, to be honest with you. There hasn't been too many. I mean, whenever with Activision and Blizzard combined, that didn't end up being bad. It was, you know, ended up being a net positive in terms of the games in general. I don't know about the company itself. Initially, man, like I said, initial thoughts is, wow, this is kind of a big deal. And I guess the question started rolling in is like, okay, so what does this mean tangibly in terms of exclusivity and like possible games? I've seen some articles saying, like I said, that all this stuff is pretty much going to stay the same, at least for now. There's no promises of that later. I mean, one of the examples they said is PlayStation currently has a deal with Call of Duty where they have, essentially they just get like, they push deals through PlayStation, like exclusive content and stuff like that through PlayStation. And they're saying that for now that'll be around, but obviously that's probably going to stop eventually, you know, when the deal is finished. So little things like that might start going away where PlayStation has a specific deal with one of these games, which is, I don't think is very many. And for now it'll be there, but probably won't be anymore. So I don't know, do you have a wish list of what do you want to see come out of this? Because as a casual person looking at this, it was like, oh, I guess that's a thing. But then they're like, what does this mean for my games, you know?
Yeah. So I have a few things wish list. And first, to go back real quick on your point, people worrying about a monopoly, I don't think that regulators are going to come through and deny this, just because even after this purchase, Microsoft still isn't going to be the company that makes the game company that makes the most revenue. If you combine their current revenue with what Activision makes, they're still only going to be at number three. Sony and Tencent are still ahead of them, which also is a sign that, like, really, if you're a Sony fan, you shouldn't be worried. Like, Sony is doing really good. Obviously, like you were mentioning, they can't sell enough of their consoles. They can't make enough their consoles. They can't sell them even faster than they currently are. And, that multiple game of the year is like, they're doing totally fine and they make a ton of money. So they're fine, you know, but like, what's that term? It's like a rising waves, a wave rises all ships or something like that.
I get the point. Yeah.
A rising wave lifts all ships. That's gonna be the phrase for now on. If you don't it, you can leave it. Yeah. And you know, this is the rising wave that's gonna just raise every ship. So I think it's positive. And so anyway, my wish list, okay. I have a few things. I don't know if you want me to go through all of them or just do one at a time.
The stage is yours. I'm all ears here.
Okay, so the first thing, I think my prediction, what I kind of like to see, I think that we will see, similar to Bethesda, where games that are currently out on other consoles will stay there. So, for example, Elder Scrolls Online, still playable on PlayStation 4. I think that Call of Duty Warzone will still be playable on PlayStation 4 or Sony consoles, right, for forever. But I think any new Call of Duty games, like single player, maybe even the multiplayer version of that game, in particular, is going to be PC and Xbox exclusive. You're not going to see that on PlayStation.
Ooh, let's analyze that a little bit. I feel like that'd be kind of huge. That'd be big news.
Yeah, that'd be very big. I mean, remember whenever Halo came out, Sony tried to have a comeback, you know, with Killzone, which was really fun, but it didn't do as big as Halo, obviously. And then they also, after a while, they said, "Why do we need something to respond back to Halo? We have Call of Duty. We, you know, people play Call of Duty on PlayStation." In 2014 or 15, PlayStation said that they were the home of Call of Duty. Like,
yeah,
you know, they had like the exclusive stuff for Call of Duty that Xbox didn't. So
imagine anytime I watch a streamer that plays Call of Duty on console, they play on PlayStation.
Yeah.
Well, at the very least, they're playing on our PC, but they're using their PlayStation controller. Because mm-hmm. so, you can see the buttons and it's like, oh, that's a triangle and not a Y, you know? So Call of Duty has been Sony's answer to the FPS, to the competitive FPS call that Halo gives, you know? Like, Halo was Xbox's baby, and then Sony was like, we need an FPS for people to play because they have Halo, we need something, and Call of Duty was it. And obviously Call of Duty is also on Xbox, but since it was the one thing that Sony had, it's kind of a big deal if you think, or... Are you saying you want this to happen? I don't want this to happen.
I mean, I don't know. I guess I don't. To me, it doesn't really matter either way. I just think I guess.
Yeah, you have a PC. You don't care.
Yeah, yeah, I have a PC, so even I don't even need an Xbox to play these games. I don't even play Call of Duty games, really. So it really doesn't affect me. But that's just what I think is going to happen. I mean, it just seems obvious to me. Like Warzone, don't cut off people who already pay the game. Obviously, who already buy the game, and it's a free to play game. So you know, transactions and stuff like that, like. That money will go towards Xbox or whatever, Microsoft, whatever.
That'd be wild if they're like, oh yeah, all that money you spent on battle passes, skins, and et cetera, et cetera. By the way, Warzone is no longer on PlayStation. Yeah, people would riot.
Yeah, exactly. But I feel like, you know, new games, like any new zombie mode for a Call of Duty game, any new multiplayer, just normal multiplayer deathmatch kind of stuff that's tied to a specific game. Yeah, for sure. I don't see how they could keep putting that on PlayStation, to be honest. Like, why would they?
Yeah, we always want these two companies to work together, but no, they're as cutthroat as ever. So I guess I wouldn't be too surprised, but
yeah,
I would hope it wouldn't.
And also a little piggyback off that mother prediction is that Call of Duty will no longer be annualized. So
What do you mean by that? Let's bring people up to speed by annualized.
Okay, so if you don't know, there is a new Call of Duty game that comes out every year.
Yeah.
And they're able to do this because there are multiple studios working on Call of Duty games. So every Call of Duty game isn't made by the same developer. There's like High Moon Studios, Treyarch, Infinity Ward. There's another one. There's like four different companies that work on them. So it's like really one company's working on a Call of Duty game for 3 years, and then they come out with it on the fourth year. But because there's four companies working on Call of Duty games at all times, that's how they're able to churn them out so quickly. So that being said, I think that you're going to see maybe them consolidate down to maybe a couple studios working on Call of Duty games, or maybe just one studio working on a Call of Duty game that comes out every 3 to 4 years. So it's like each generation gets like one or two Call of Duty games, and then you'll see those other studios making their own new IP, FPS, or whatever games.
Okay, because I was about to ask, what's the incentive for that? Because annualizing a game... I mean, that's just free money. Even if you make minor changes from game to game, i.e. Madden, you know, mm-hmm. why would you do that? Unless, like you said, maybe you want to use those resources somewhere else where you're doing something new.
Which, yeah, I can see them trying to you know, cool. Diversify. I mean,
that'd be good because do we really need a Call of Duty every year? Not really.
No. Yeah.
It's one of those things where we all know they're just doing it for the cash grab, but we're along for the ride, you know? So especially because those annualized games affect Warzone. Because a lot of the guns that come out on these annualized games, they end up in Warzone, and you got to go play or buy the freaking side game, the multiplayer game, to upgrade guns for Warzone. And people want to be competitive in Warzone when they play and not have a gun that's 4 games old. So they end up grinding those games out. So... yeah, if that stops, that'd be great. Because that would mean that would stabilize Warzone a lot more and make it a lot less grindy to play. So that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, and think about it like this too. Like with Activision, since they didn't own a console, they're trying to churn out as many games as possible, right? So that way they can make as much money as possible. But with Xbox, you're trying to get consoles out. You're trying to get people to buy these consoles into your home because you'll make money off of third-party games too, right? Because third-party games, Microsoft gets a 30% cut on all those games. So there's really no reason for them to come out with multiple Call of Duty games if people are going to be buying the Call of Duty game for the one Xbox. You know what I mean? When a new Call of Duty game comes out the next year, if it's the same Xbox, they're not going to go out and buy another Xbox. So as long as they have one Call of Duty game per generation, I think that's all they really need.
Yeah. And I think this is, we need to mention also, I think this is such a big, Game Pass has such high value now. Because, oh my goodness, there's so many big companies that are just going to get funneled through Game Pass. And if Xbox makes Game Pass a little less complicated and stop having like 8 different names for all the different Game Pass packages so we can actually know what we need to buy.
They did change the name.
Just have one thing. Just have one thing. You buy that and you get everything. You know, because it's like, well, how many? I don't even want to go through them. Anyways, you get Xbox Game Pass. You get, you know, the regular PC games. You get Halo. You get Bethesda games. You get Blizzard games. You get Active. It's so many games, so many companies under one umbrella. I think that's one thing that they'll always have over Sony, where Sony, their big boy is Naughty Dog. Like, that's their guy. Like, Naughty Dog, who makes Spider-Man, freaking Insomniac,
yep.
And Sucker Punch is another one of their big guys. But, like, they got a couple of big hitters. But, I mean, so Xbox's, Microsoft's strategy is overwhelm them with numbers. So if you can't convince them, confuse them. So just, like, throw a bunch of junk at us and something will stick, you know? So the value of Game Pass has just gone through the roof for me. I think it is so good. It's pretty good already. Like, you've played a couple of really good games recently this year because of Game Pass.
Yeah.
And that's just going to get even better. So that's like the first thing I was thinking about whenever this came out. It's like, man, Game Pass is just so good now.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And, you know, about that. Sorry, I'm trying to remember what I was going to say. And you're talking about Game Pass.
You got to write these things down, Riga. What are you doing? This is a professional podcast.
I'll just move on to the next thing that I had in my mind. You talk about Game Pass and games coming on there. What if they added World of Warcraft to Xbox Game Pass?
Ooh, spicy. Does this mean World of Warcraft has some hope of going free to play, man? Is it possible?
I mean, I don't think it would go free to play, but it would go, it's free to play if you have Game Pass. You know, I mean,
yeah, it's a hidden free to play. Yeah. Nothing is actually free.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, but for a lot of people, they already have Game Pass for other reasons. They're like, oh, hey, there is this MMO that I can just play. Since I already have Game Pass anyway, I might as well just play it, you know?
I bet you're ecstatic. I saw you like that tweet about how World of Warcraft might get some much needed work with Microsoft getting involved.
Oh, yeah. I saw that. I was replying to that person was replying to somebody who works on the Xbox Game Pass team. So I was like, please. Yeah, that would be freaking awesome. But, you know, to be honest, I think that that's too much money for them to put on the table if they put the entire game on Game Pass. Like, too many people like me will keep paying for the subscription for World of Warcraft alone. It's too much money. And I already know this is the case because Elder Scrolls Online is part of Bethesda, you know, and Microsoft owns Bethesda now. And Elder Scrolls Online has a subscription, and it's not included in Game Pass. But the base game of Elder Scrolls Online is included in Game Pass. So I can totally see, like, in the future, maybe Blizzard has like some sort of like a sub tier where it's like, if you have Game Pass, you can play World of Warcraft up to like the 10 levels before the newest expansion. So everything up to the newest expansion, you can play for free or part of Game Pass.
Yeah. It's a little WoW Classic,
It's like add WoW Classic in there. Add like everything except for the newest expansion.
Yeah, dude, I heard they were thinking about doing a Lich King Classic.
Is that they've already announced they already said they're gonna do that at some point. They just haven't announced a date yet.
Bring them. I don't know, man. Lich King was the one, dude. I don't know. I'm just getting your hopes up for nothing.
I'm totally gonna play that. Like, just the fact that I can just queue up for dungeons and level up, like, that alone makes me think, okay, I'm actually gonna get to max level. And I'm sure they're going to have a boost with it, like they did with the Burning Crusade Classic. So you'll start out at level 70.
I have so many good memories of Lich King, man. Oh, that was the one. I mean, that's the one that made me fall in love with the game, because that's what I started playing. Was Lich King was about to come out when I really started playing.
I remember that.
Wow, seriously. And then Lich King came out and I, you know, leveled through it. And those dungeons were so much fun. There's only one. I don't even remember one raid. Wasn't it just Naxx?
Naxx was the first one.
What was the second one?
I don't remember doing any of the other raids besides Naxx.
Naxx was the one. What?
No, there were other ones. There was Ice Crown Citadel.
Oh, yeah, Ice Crown. I mean, I was like, what's the one that where we killed them? A freaking Lich King? It's Ice Crown, right?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, we always end up finding a wild tangent in these podcasts. We got to stop. It has to end. Okay. Anyway, yeah, I mean, that's just a small example of this merger potentially boosting a game that's already existing. I mean, the first thing I want them to work on is Warzone, to be honest. I just want new eyes on Warzone so it could just stop being so freaking annoying. Like, I want to be able to climb rocks. Like, I tweeted out on our Twitter at Basement Gaming 9 that now that I can complain about it being a $1 billion company and not fixing stupid things, like, now you're giving me a specific number to complain about. It's a $70 billion company, Brigham. And I still can't climb freaking rocks in Warzone. There are these rocks all over the map. Now with the new map, these rocks are even everywhere. They're even more superfluous. You just can't climb. And I've died because of it. I've died in a zone because of it. Because they can't figure out how to code you going over a tiny little rock. $70 billion company, Brigham. Fix the rocks.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, tangent. No, the amount of money that's going to go towards these big games. But at the same time, I wonder, are they going to start cutting studios Ooh, as yeah. well? Because yeah. Activision has a ton of studios. Microsoft has a ton of studios already. And this doesn't seem like it was something that was planned way in advance. This feels like they just kind of saw an opportunity and took it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there was just a sale on Activision that was going to end soon. Like a Black Friday sale. They're like, oh, got to snatch that up.
So, how did these things happen without us even hearing rumors of it being in the works? That's my thing. Like, this is a crazy big deal. Like, and they're just like, oh, by the way, we're doing this. It'll be over next year. It's like, what? Like, I feel like they've been talking about this for at least 2-3 years, right? There's no way they're just talking about this.
There were reports saying that this was like the end of last year that this started happening.
That's still pretty soon. Like, I mean, end of last year. This is the end of last year. We're in January.
End of 2021. I mean, like, you know, Q4 of 21 is like kind of like when conversations were happening.
Okay, so a few months.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I don't know. We have no idea how corporate takeovers happen. This is what we're realizing here.
Yeah.
In my head, exactly. this is 2 years in the making. But no, we talked about this last month. What do you mean? Okay, cool. I mean, speaking of cutting. I mean, this is something we should definitely bring up. Activision Blizzard has been through quite a lot the last year. A lot of scrutiny, a lot of probably well-deserved criticisms and drama going on. I don't even want to call it drama. It's just plain badness. It's
crazy. I mean, people were stealing other people's breast milk. Did you hear about this story? Like,
I heard about that one. What? Yeah,
it's insane.
Yeah, it's been pretty freaking bad. And I remember when we brought it up the first time around or a few months ago, one of the things we said was the only big change that could really happen is change in leadership, right? And that's what a lot of people are saying needs to happen. And I'm still hearing people saying that there's complaints around Activision that what they're doing is still not enough. So, I mean, this might be it. This might be the change in leadership that hopefully changes this problem, you know, or at least addresses it more than it has been before. And we really can't talk about this merger without saying that we hope that it does, you know, that hopefully that this change in leadership and change in culture in Microsoft just brings not only change in just Activision, but they, like we said, they own many, many other companies. So just hopefully it just gets better, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'm hoping that, you know, at the very end of the day, things like Bobby Kotick, actually, there have been already been reports saying that he is planning on leaving after the acquisition. They can't like say that because they're not allowed to, you know, make plans before the purchase is done. But they have been saying that there are expectations that he is going to step down after the merge or after the buyout. So that's going to happen. I'm sure that a lot of people are excited about that. And I know a lot of people are mad that he's getting a golden parachute, but I mean, I don't know what else you would have expected.
Like, every CEO gets a golden parachute. That's just the system that we live in right now.
And, you know, people may be upset about this, but at the end of the day, like, he took a company that was on the brink of bankruptcy and made them probably the biggest third party game company in the world, if not if, like one of the biggest, at least, you know what I mean? So like,
yeah,
it's not like he just didn't do anything. Not like the company didn't. And whether you want to say that was his fault or not, like at the end of the day, he was the CEO, the buck stops with him. So like he all the good and bad that happens, he gets part of that blame. So,
yeah.
So and it's going to be obvious that he's going to have a golden parachute.
Yeah. I mean, you might be mad about the golden parachute, but at least he's off the plane. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He's not on the plane over. So, yeah. It's,
oh, I don't know. Sorry. I was going to say one other thing about that. Sorry. So, yeah. So anyway, I was saying, so yeah, he's leaving. And I think that even though Microsoft has been really big on letting companies do their own thing and autonomy, with this announcement, they did say that that Phil Spencer would be the CEO of Microsoft Gaming, which was a title that he's never had before, which kind of makes you feel like he will be more involved in all the other studios, even if it's just like from like an oversight, just to make sure everything's going good, nothing crazy is happening, nobody's stealing breast milk, you know what I mean? That kind of stuff. Like, as long, even if it's just like that kind of stuff, I feel like he'll be good, because Microsoft, as someone who works at Microsoft, I can say that the company structure and like the work culture and stuff that I've seen so far has been like really positive. A lot of focus on like personal development, a lot of work-life balance. Like, I can't say enough good things are working at Microsoft, and
yeah,
hopefully that stuff bleeds into the other companies as well.
And to be clear, you don't work for Microsoft Gaming.
I do not work for Microsoft Gaming. Yeah,
I'm you're just pretty like far away from this deal, exactly. In general, like this doesn't really like, besides, you know, the company doing better and therefore you do better, this doesn't really affect your day to day in any way.
So yeah, unless they plan on adding, you know, like some Microsoft 365 to Xbox anytime soon, I will have zero interaction with that.
You're just getting work emails while you're on the freaking Halo lobby.
Yeah. Oh, sweet. Just send that OneDrive file to my Xbox. Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that has to happen, you know. Yeah, I mean, hopefully the cuts don't get too bad, that not too many people lose their jobs. I don't know how big company works, but the HR department is probably the first thing they're going to be looking at. It's like, what are you doing? You know, because there was a lot of these reports came out, and they were saying that a lot of these incidents were reported to HR and just nothing happened. You know, it's the same old BS that always happened with these cases, man. It's like people are scared to come forward. And then when they do, it's just silence, you know, and it's just, we don't want to make this a bummer, but we'll be looking out for that. And I'm sure the internet is going to be holding Microsoft quite accountable, because there's been a lot of crap thrown at Blizzard recently. The last year, Activision Blizzard has not been the most popular company in the world, that's for sure.
Dope, so, definitely not.
I hope they have a plan.
Last thing, do you think they'll keep doing BlizzCon after this? Or will BlizzCon go away, or will it be like a Microsoft thing?
Does Microsoft have a thing? They don't have a thing, do they?
I think they kind of do, but it's not really that big. It's like called like Xbox. I can't remember, but it's been virtual the past couple years, and they've doing like Brazil or something. It's like an international thing. So,
Brigham, I'm not even sure that cons are going to come back.
Oh wow, I guess it's a topic for another day. That would bum me out.
So, yeah, like things. I feel like people are getting so comfortable with things like BlizzCon just being virtual, and there's so many state of plays now. Like Sony's having a state of play soon. Xbox has state of plays. Every big major company has a state of play. So, I mean, I just want E3 is just gonna die. It's just gonna die, dude. It is a natural evolution. Sad.
But BlizzCon's gonna die too.
BlizzCon, I mean, since it's its own thing, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it sticks around. I don't know if it's gonna be in person or as big as it used to be. I think we're just gonna get so used to just watching BlizzCon online that less and less people are gonna be inclined to go to the actual con, or the only people that are gonna be there are hardcore fans. Ugh.
Do you remember back whenever you can watch BlizzCon on DirecTV, the DirecTV BlizzCon ticket?
I don't remember this. I remember there was a virtual ticket.
Before the virtual ticket, there was a DirecTV pass, and it was like you had to get it. It's like pay per view, but BlizzCon. Anyway,
what is that experience like?
I have no clue. I didn't have DirecTV, so I missed out on that.
You see, evolution, Virgo. DirecTV, virtual tour, then now it's just going to be all virtual. Okay. I don't know. We'll see. I don't know. I have a lot of thoughts when it comes to how COVID is probably going to change so many things. And
that's a great topic for next week.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. But yeah, I think that's the big hitters that we have for this news here. I mean, like we said, it won't be over till 2023. That's when there's projecting everything will be signed. There's probably a lot of legalities that need to be reviewed here. A lot of contracts, lots of lawyers, a lot of things that we know nothing about. So we'll just be sitting here waiting for it to be over, and then let the madness begin. The madness. This is like their multiverse. Xbox is creating their own multiverse, bro. Just blew your mind. Freaking cinematic universe.
someone was saying that Xbox needs to make their own Smash Brothers game now because they have enough IP to make a good one.
That'd be hilarious. It's their own game. Yeah. Oh, the possibilities are endless. When you have that many, so many IPs, that many studios, that much manpower, I'm telling you, dude.
Oh, yeah. You
can't convince them, confuse them. They're just going to confuse us with games. It's going to keep coming.
Yeah, I think like Xbox is Viacom and Sony is HBO. You know what I mean? Like HBO's got like the small select category, but it's like very boutique, all pristine. And Microsoft's just like, here's everything. We got Paramount Plus. We have MTV. We have VH1. Just like, we're going to throw it all at you.
Throw it all at you. it's freaking HBO. That's a great comparison because they got Last of Us. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Last of Us is like Sony's Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm. So true. You know,
freaking controversial ending and everything. All right. Well, I guess that's all we got. We'll check back in 2 years to see where we're at with this acquisition. Mm-hmm. Acquisition.
Well, we'll have a podcast before then, but.
Oh, yeah. No, this is over. It's over. This is the biggest news. This is the biggest news. There could never be anything bigger. This is it. But no, we'll be back. Thanks for listening. Please feel free to share the show with your gamer friends. And I haven't reminded you guys to do this in a while, but give us a review or a rating on whatever podcast listening app you're listening to, just to give our algorithm a little bump. And follow us on Twitter @BasementGaming9, and come back next time.
Peace.